Welcome to Shino's Shir and Svarno, Parshas Emor. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Chani Daniels for her mother, Chana Bat Sharya, and Shoma should have an Aliyah. Parshas Emor contains within it the Parshas HaMoados, which talks about the various Yomim Tovim that are observed during the course of the Jewish year. It's a Parsha which is familiar to us because we lay it on many of the Yom Tovim. And the Svarno has a number of important comments. So the Sedrus, the particular parasha starts off in Perichov Gimel, Pasuk Beis. Moadei Hashem, asher tikro sol mikroi kodesh, elehei moadoi. Literally, the holidays of Hashem, which you declared to be holy holidays, these are my holidays. It's a little bit of an unusual structure of the pasuk, especially because just a few psukim later, the pasuk says, "Eilam Moadei Hashem Asher Tikro Osam Mikroi Kodesh." These are the holidays of Hashem, and then goes on to list the various Yom Tovim. So then, what is this pasuk, "Moadei Hashem Asher Tikro Osam Mikroi Kodesh"? What role does that play? If it's not an introductory pasuk, because we're going to have an introductory pasuk shortly thereafter, what role does it play? So we'll come back to that question. The Svarno first starts talking about the placement of the Moadim, of the Yom Tovim, at this particular point in the Chumash. After the Torah has discussed the Korbanos and those who offer up the Korbanos, i.e. the Kohanim, Shakavona Bohem Hashros Hashchino B'Yisrael, and the intent of the Korbanos is to cause the Shechina to dwell among the Jewish people. Diber b'moadim, asher b'shvisosom yechavein lishvos b'maisa hedyot. So the Torah now moves on to talk about the Yom Tovim, which by observing the Yom Tovim, the intent is that we should cease, at least temporarily, over the course of the Yom Tov, maisa hedyot, our regular everyday activities. B'ktsasam legamrei, on some of the Yom Tovim we cease our everyday activities entirely, k'inyan Shabbos v'Yom HaKippurim, as we find, for instance, with Shabbos and Yom Kippur. And as we'll see, some of the Yom Tovim, most of the Yom Tovim, are characterized by ceasing from many regular everyday activities, but still engaging in some. You know, the idea that on Yom Tov, one is allowed to engage in melechus ochol nefesh, one is allowed to cook, one is allowed to carry, one is allowed to engage in other types of activities which are somewhat weekday in nature, but are allowed on Yom Tov. Then he adds the following. V'lasok b'kulam b'torah v'iskei kodesh. The point of all of these special days, Shabbos, Yom Kippur, the Yom Tovim, is to be involved in Torah study and holy pursuits. Ke'amro sheshes yomim tavo, as the pasuk says in the Aseres Adibros, you should work for 6 days. V'yom hashvi Shabbos l'Hashem Elokecha, and the seventh day is Shabbos for Hashem your God. And the way this Svarno understands that, and he'll elaborate on this, is that on the seventh day it's Shabbos, and your activities on Shabbos are supposed to be dedicated for Hashem your God. Meaning, the point of Shabbos or Yom Tov is not simply to refrain from the Lamed Tes Melachos for the 39 different prohibited types of labor. That's a given, that's a baseline for what Shabbos is supposed to be about. But on Shabbos, this person is supposed to devote himself to learning, to holy endeavors, and that's supposed to characterize what the person does on Shabbos. We'll come back to that in a few moments. Uviktsasam, so we've talked about Shabbos and Yom Tov where there's a total cessation from regular activity. And some of these moadim, some of these appointed times, tihi ashviso mimelechas avoda bilvod. Some of these Yom Tovim were not allowed to engage in melechas avoda, but melacha is not entirely prohibited. So this distinction between melacha and melechas avoda is an idea which is originally introduced by the Ramban. The Ramban introduces it here in Parshas Emor. The Ramban calls our attention to the fact that when the Torah speaks about not doing work on Shabbos, it usually refers to what we can't do on Shabbos as melacha. When the Torah speaks about what we can't do on Yom Tov, it usually refers to what we can't do as meleches avoda. So the Ramban says that distinction, even though melacha and avoda both are usually translated as work, the distinction between melacha and meleches avoda is an exact distinction. Melacha means all the things that you can't do on Shabbos, the 39 melachos. Meleches avoda describes those things which can't be done on Yom Tov. In other words, it leaves open the ability to engage in what the Ramban refers to as meleches hana'a, engaging in types of activities that cause us immediate benefit on Yom Tov, like cooking, grinding, carrying, you know, all the transferring of fire, all the sort of things that we know are permissible on Yom Tov but prohibited on Shabbos, are all included in that term, meleches hana'a. So meleches avoda is what's aser on Yom Tov, melachas was aser on Shabbos. Fine. So he says, going back to the Sfarno, using the terminology of the Ramban, and the certain Yom Tovim, so we're supposed to refrain from meleches avoda, as is the case with other, the Yom Tovim besides Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Vakavana bohem, the thrust of the way we're supposed to celebrate the Yom Tovim, she'im simchas hayom she'ismach yisro be'osav, that on the Yom Tovim, together with the simcha of Yom Tov. And what's the simcha of Yom Tov? So he quotes the pasuk we say every day, yismach yisro be'osav, that the Jewish people rejoice in its creator, in its maker. In other words, the simcha of Yom Tov is ultimately supposed to be about connecting to Hashem. Yiyeh ha'esek b'ktsaso b'iskei kodesh, part of the day on a Yom Tov should be devoted to holy things. As Chazal say, that Yom Tov is chetz yol Hashem v'chetz yol lochem. Yom Tov is supposed to be divided. Part of what we do on Yom Tov is supposed to be for Hashem. Part of what we do on Yom Tov is supposed to be just for our own personal pleasure. Uvozeh tishre shchina al yisro b'lisofek. If we carry out these moadim, if we carry out properly Shabbos and Yom Kippur and Yom Tov in the way in which the Torah envisions them, i.e. times during which we can cleave to Hashem, so then, without a doubt, we will cause the Shekhinah to dwell among the Jewish people. So, with all of that introduction, he now goes back to interpret this pasuk, Moadei Hashem, Asher Tikra Osa Mikroi Kodesh, Eilehem Moadoi. He says as follows, Osam Moadim, Shetikra Osa Mikroi Kodesh. If you take these Moadim, these appointed times, and you treat them as Mikra'e Kodesh. What are Mikra'e Kodesh? Asifos Am Le'iske Kodesh. Public gatherings for sacred purposes. Ki Asifas Ha'am Tikare Mikra. Because the word Mikra in this context means a gathering of the people. He quotes the pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya, Chodesh v'Shabbos kro mikra. And Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos kro mikra. We call the people to come together. So mikra kodesh means a gathering of the people for a holy pursuit. So if Moadei Hashem, Asher Tikra Oso Mikroi Kodesh, if you take the holidays of Hashem and you treat them as Mikra'e Kodesh, as an opportunity to call the people together to do something holy, Eileheim Moadoi. These are my holidays, says the pasuk, and explains the Sfarno what that means. Says Heim Osam HaMoadim She'erzabom. Those are the Yom Tovim, says Hashem, that I find favor with. In other words, this first pasuk, Moadei Hashem, Asher Tikra Osam Mikra'i Kodesh, Eileheim Moadoi, it's not a statement of introduction. I'm about to tell you the Yomim Tovim. The truth is, a few psukim later, the pasuk that does serve as a pasuk of introduction contains the word Eile. Eile Moadei Hashem, Asher Tikra Osa Mikra'i Kodesh. These are the Moadim. In our pasuk, the pasuk starts off not with the word Eile, these are, but just Moadei Hashem. A description, the subject of the sentence is the Yom Tovim. According to the Sfarno, the point of this pasuk, Moadei Hashem Asher Tikra Osa Mikra'i Kodesh, is not to introduce the Yom Tovim, but to give us a perspective about the Yom Tovim. You should know, says the Pasuk, I'm about to introduce all of these Yom Tovim during the course of the year. The Yom Tovim will be as holy as you make them. If you treat, you can technically keep all of the Yom Tovim, but if you just engage in your own secular pursuits on the Yom Tov, and you don't make it into a day on which you aspire to greater holiness, says Hashem, I'm not so crazy about that type of Yom Tov. But Ma'adei Hashem Asher Tikro Osam Mikroi Kodesh. But if the holidays of Hashem you utilize to use them as opportunities to gather the people together for Kedusha, Elehem Mo'adoi. These are my Yom Tovim. Right? These are the Yom Tovim that I desire, says Hashem, that I know that you're doing it right. Omnam, however, Kishelo Tikro Osam Mikroi Kodesh. If you observe the holidays, but you don't make them mikra'i kodesh, where people come together for kedusha, avoyu mikra'i chol, a clever turn of phrase. You can have mikra'i kodesh, where people to come together for kedusha. Conversely, you can have mikra'i chol, where people come together for secular pursuits. Ve'esek b'chayeshah v'sanugos b'nei ha'adam bilvod. If the whole point of a Yom Tov is just that you're engaged in physical pleasures of this world, let's see how many times we can go to the tea room, you know, over the course of a Pesach retreat or a Shavuos retreat or a Rosh Hashanah retreat or a Sukkot retreat. You know, just keep going back and back and back and back, and the whole Yom Tov becomes about, you know, a food fest or worse. Lo yihiyu moadoi. Those Yom Tovim are not moadoi, says Hashem. They're not my moadim. They're not my holidays. But rather, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, in describing how the people kept the holidays in a less than perfect fashion, the Pasuk there at the beginning of Yeshaya says, Moadechem sono nafshi. Your Moadim, your Yom Tovim, I hate, says Hashem, in the beginning of Yeshaya. So the Srana over here is picking up on the fact that in Yeshaya, the Pasuk talks about Moadechem, your Yom Tovim. Here the Pasuk talks about Moadoi, my Yom Tovim, says Hashem. So what's the difference? When the Moed is observed properly, it's Hashem's Yom Tov. When the Moed is observed improperly, it's your Yom Tov. It's about your pursuits. It's about what you're interested in, and not about using the Moed as an opportunity to come to Kedusha. So right off the bat, we have this beautiful statement from the Svarno about the importance of not only the letter of the law when it comes to the Yom Tovim, when it comes to the Shabbosim as well, but what are you preoccupied with over the course of the Shabbos and Yom Tov that also makes or breaks it in terms of the quality of the day. He then adds an interesting thing in Pasuk Gimel, where the Pasuk speaks about, we have one Pasuk that speaks about the institution of Shabbos. Pasuk says as follows, Sheshes yomim te'osa melocha, for 6 days work should be done, v'yom ha'shvi'i Shabbos Shabbos mikra kodesh, on the seventh day is Shabbos, a mikra kodesh, a day on which you're supposed to gather the people for Kedusha, like he said before, kol melocha lo sa'asu, you should not do any melocha, Shabbos hi l'ashem, it's Shabbos for Hashem in all of your dwelling places. What's meant by the words b'chol moshvoseichem, in all of your dwelling places? Again, we know that every word in the Torah, every phrase in the Torah is measured. Obviously, if the Torah is telling us that on the seventh day it's Shabbos, regardless of where we live, so it's addressing some kind of thought that I might have had the Pasuk not addressed it. But what thought is that exactly? What's the Hava Amina? In other words, had the Pasuk not said that it's Shabbos wherever I live, I would have thought that it's only Shabbos in some zip codes, but not in other zip codes. It's only Shabbos if I live on certain floors in the apartment house, but not on other floors of the apartment house. What would I have thought were it not for that phrase? What does B'chol Moshvoseichem and all of your dwelling places add? So he writes the following very, very interesting idea. Af al pi shetishtane tchilas hayom v'halaylo kifi hishtanus ha'orech biglilos mischalfos. You know, depending on where you are in the world, Shabbos begins and ends at different times. Right? In some parts of the world and at some times of the year, the night is very long. In some parts of the world and some times of the year, the day is very long. You know, a winter Shabbos is different than a summer Shabbos. And, you know, a Shabbos around the equator is different than a Shabbos that's way up north, far away from the equator, way down south, far away from the equator. The imzeh, notwithstanding this, hoysa ha-Shabbos ha-Rishona mishu'eres kifi eze orech miuchad behechreyach. The reason we keep Shabbos is to try to imitate the first Shabbos in the world, that first Shabbos of creation, the Shabbos that goes back to way back when. So one might have thought as follows. Maybe we should measure our Shabbosim based on that original Shabbos that happened at the very beginning of creation. How would that work exactly? Well, we assume that Adam and Chava, who were experiencing that original Shabbos, were in Gan Eden, right? Where's Gan Eden exactly? I can't tell you where it is exactly, but I know it's a lot closer to the equator than New York is. That much I know, right? Somewhere there in the Middle East. Okay, let's leave it at that. Definitely closer to the equator. So a person in theory could reason as follows. That original Shabbos, depending on which opinion you hold in Rosh Hashanah, was either in Nisan or in Tishrei. Is it Machlokas in the Gemara? Was the world created in Tishrei? Was the world created in Nisan? It was one or the other. Nisan and Tishrei, we know that the division of day and night is approximately equal. Right? Now, it's during the fall and during the spring, right around the equinox, right? The day is about equal. And that's especially true the closer you get to the equator. So in other words, let's say that original Shabbos started around 6 in the evening on Friday night and went to the following Motzei Shabbos around, you know, 6, let's say Sakochavim, 6:30 or something like that. Fine. So maybe that should be the way Shabbos works everywhere. In other words, maybe there should be a fixed starting and ending time for Shabbos, not related to sunrise and sunset, but maybe we should all just take the example of the original Shabbos and duplicate that. I mean, it sounds bizarre to us. It has, by the way, a certain appeal, I guess. You know, I mean, it would make it easier to deal with people's employment during the winter, right? Sunset is at 4, but, you know, Shabbos doesn't start till 6. Right? It certainly make our lives easier, although I don't know how that would work in the summer, although a lot of people wouldn't mind starting Shabbos in the summer at 6 o'clock, having a fixed time for Shabbos throughout the year. Maybe that should be the case. In other words, if we're trying to imitate the original Shabbos, maybe the Zmanim, maybe the times of Shabbos should universally be based on that original Shabbos, which was at that time of year, which was at that place close to the equator. You know, maybe that should determine Shabbos all over the world. Again, for us in New York, this would change things moderately. For people who live in extreme northern areas or extreme southern areas, it would change things drastically. You go to parts of England during the summer, and they make Havdalah Sunday morning. Sometimes, you know, it's so late by the time Shabbos is over, that there are people who go to bed, Motzei Shabbos, they wake up Shabbos morning, they make Havdalah, right? Maybe you wouldn't have to do that. Maybe the Torah would have a set time for the beginning and end time of Shabbos. So that, says the Sfarno, comes the Pasuk and addresses that issue. Mikol Makom, this fact notwithstanding, that the original Shabbos was approximately, you know, a 6 to 6 kind of deal, Tia tchilas haShabbos b'sofa b'chol echad mehaglilos liyoshvav kifi haschalas hayom v'halaylo b'galil hahu. Nonetheless, the Torah is coming and telling us that the beginning and end of Shabbos is is relative to the place where Shabbos is being observed and relative to the times of sunset in that particular locale. In other words, when the Pasuk says, Shabbos hi l'Hashem b'chol moshvoseichem, that the seventh day is Shabbos to Hashem in all of your dwelling places, what it means is that it's Shabbos in accordance with the local Zmanim in all of your dwelling places. Right? The Zmanim change from place to place. There isn't one universal Zman that's going to apply to every single place in the world. So again, this we know intuitively from our own observance of Shabbos. I don't think it would ever dawn on us that if we, let's say, spent Shabbos in Manchester during the summer, that we would just kind of look at the watch around 6:30 and say, okay, it's been Shabbos for a pretty long time already. I think it's time to call it quits. You know, it's already ready time to call it off, right? Okay, you wait till it gets dark. You know, ain't brei ra. There's no choice. It gets dark very late Friday night. It gets dark very late Motzei Shabbos during the summer in Manchester, let's say. Okay? You do what you got to do. But that's not intuitive. You wouldn't automatically assume that. The Pasuk has to come and tell us that Shabbos il Hashem b'chol moshvoseichem, you take into account every single place and its unique zmanim to figure out when Shabbos begins and ends. We'll just take a look, Pasuk Hey, where the Torah begins to talk about the discussion of Pesach, and we'll have time, I think, for one last little tidbit for tonight. So, beginning in Pasuk Dalet, Eila Moad Hashem Mikoy Kodesh Hashit Tikro Samba Moadam. Right now, we have a Pasuk that introduces the Yomim Tovim. So, in Pasuk Hey, Bachodesh Horishon. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, in the afternoon, the Korban Pesach is supposed to be brought, Pesach Lashem. Now it's interesting that the Torah starts off its description of the Yom Tov of Pesach by describing the bringing of the Korban Pesach on Yud Dalet Nisan in the afternoon. Because Yud Dalet Nisan is not actually a Yom Tov. Tesvav Nisan, the first day of Pesach, that's actually a Yom Tov. Yud Dalet Nisan is an Erev Yom Tov, it's Erev Pesach. So why is that included here in the list of the Yom Tov? So the truth is, for those who were here for the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, the pre-Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, we quoted a Pnei Yehoshua in the beginning of the fourth Perek of Pesachim, where the Pnei Yehoshua calls attention to this phenomena, that here in Emor, in the list of the Moadim, it starts off describing the Yom Tov of Pesach by saying, on the 14th in the afternoon, you bring the Korban Pesach, and the Pnei Yehoshua has the same kasha. What are we talking about the 14th? It's true, you bring the Korban Pesach on the 14th in the afternoon, but the 14th in the afternoon is not a Yom Tov. The Yom Tov begins that night. You know, that's Erev Pesach. The Yom Tov only begins Leil Pesach. So Pnei Yehoshua wants to say a chiddush, that this is actually the source for that which the Gemara implies or takes for granted, or the Mishnah takes for granted in the beginning of the fourth parak of Pesachim, that on the afternoon of Erev Pesach there's an Isser Malacha, there's a prohibition of doing work against something akin to Chol HaMoed. The Gemara never spells out how it's so, the Mishnah, the Gemara never spell out how it's so obvious that there's an Isser Malacha on the afternoon of Erev Pesach. Where do we get that idea from? The Gemara never talks about it. So the Pnei Yehoshua suggests that maybe it's this Pasuk. In other words, this Pasuk lists off Erev Pesach afternoon in the list of the Yom Tovim. So apparently the Torah holds, for whatever reason, that the afternoon of Erev Pesach is considered to be a Yom Tov, and a Yom Tov is characterized by an Isser Malacha, by a prohibition against doing work. So that's the Pnei Yehoshua's answer, many, many centuries after this Svarna. But that's the Pnei Yehoshua's answer to this question, why is the 14th being included over here? It's interesting, the Svarna does not say the Pnei Yehoshua's answer. Indeed, the Pnei Yehoshua's answer is not an answer which is given by Rishonim, it's given by the Pnei Yehoshua, who was an Adam Gadol, but was an Akron. The Rishonim don't say like the Pnei Yehoshua. The answer, the Svarno gives a different interpretation. He says, Hizker inyan ha-Pesach Afal pi she'ein yomo mikra kodesh. The Korban Pesach is mentioned over here, even though the afternoon on which the Korban Pesach is offered up, Erev Pesach, is not a mikra kodesh, right? He says explicitly not like the Pnei Yoshua. It's not considered to be a mikra kodesh. However, ki hisibas hishtanus zmanei hamoadim. The Korban Pesach is the reason that the Yom Tovim are fall out at the time that they do. Why so? Ki omnom heyos hakavona shiyez man zevach haPesach ledoros mechuvon im hazman shahoya hazevach shel osa psicha shenaseis bechatsi osa halaylo bekivun hisibo shiyez emosir lebezdin viburayam vecheshbonam kmo sheber beomro shomor es chodesh ha'aviv. Why is it that we have the Jewish calendar the way we have it? Why is it that we don't have, like the Muslims, a totally lunar calendar? Why is it that we have a basically lunar calendar, but a lunar calendar which Chazal adjust every couple of years to kind of bring the lunar calendar into sync with the solar calendar? They do that, of course, by introducing an extra month into the year, so that, you know, every 2-3 years, the lunar calendar is worked out with the solar calendar. So, you know, we're never, unlike, again, Lahavdil in the Muslim world, where they observe Ramadan sometimes in the winter, sometimes in the summer, all different times of the year, we don't have that. You know, our Yom Tovim all come out in the same season. Why is that? So says the Svarno, because the Torah wants the Korban Pesach to be offered up during the Aviv, during the spring, to be similar to the time at which the Korban Pesach was offered up when the Jews were in Mitzrayim. That's the Pasuk says in Re'eh, Shamar es chodesh ha'aviv, v'yosiso Pesach l'Hashem Elokecha. Guard the spring month, and you should bring a Korban Pesach to Hashem. In other words, the Korban has to be during the spring. So it's true, the Korban and the day on which the Korban is offered up, those are not... Technically speaking, Erev Pesach is not a Yom Tov, right? The Korban Pesach is being offered up on a day which is not a Yom Tov in its own right. However, the Korban Pesach is the cause for all of the Yom Tovim falling out at the times at which they do. In other words, the whole Jewish calendar is oriented on the around the fact that the Korban Pesach has to be offered up in the spring. So since it's such an essential part of the Jewish calendar, the Torah mentions that in Parshas Emor, despite the fact that Erev Pesach is indeed not considered to be a Yom Tov, it's not considered to be a Mikra Kodesh, it's not considered to be a holiday, according to our understanding. Again, the Sfarno in this regard, as we pointed out, is not like the position of the Pnei Yehoshua. Okay, Rabbi Chananah ben Akasha Omer, Rotz.